If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Ray Kaplan, the debt relief attorney here from the Kaplan Law Firm, sent me a note yesterday. It included a link to a story. I cut you off a moment ago. So what's the headline here?
So the headline is that the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the injunction that bars Biden's SAVE plan. So the Biden administration came out with that new regulation reducing everybody's student loan payments using this new rule called the SAVE plan, which really reduced everybody's payments quite significantly. So if your payment was $1,000 a month, it would be reduced to about $500 a month. And it had an interest subsidy. About 8 million people were enrolled. And a bunch of states sued the Biden administration.
Missouri was the focal point.
Was one of them. Yeah, I think Oklahoma, Florida are some of the other ones. But they said the Biden administration exceeded its authority in doing this by executive order. They changed the legislation so it was unconstitutional. And so they put everybody in SAVE on forbearance, about 8 million people. And now the court has held that the injunction barring SAVE should be upheld because they are likely going to win this case, that it was unconstitutional. So SAVE, for all intents and purposes, really is toast. It's gone. So if you're in SAVE and you're in that SAVE forbearance, very likely we're going to want to switch you into something called IBR, income-based repayment, which is also quite good. It's a good payment plan. It's just not as good as the SAVE plan.
I'm familiar with both a little bit because you've been here talking about both of them since the pandemic started, because that's when forbearance rolled out.
Right.
But IBR, just describe what that is.
So it's a formula where you get to make payments based on your income, which is actually very nice because, you know, we have credit card debt, we have mortgages. Those payments are fixed payments and the payment doesn't change if your income changes. But the nice thing about federal loans is that you can get into an income-based payment plan. And if your payment or your income goes down, the payment will go down. If your income goes up, the payment will go up. And so there are ways to handle your federal loans that are much more flexible than other types of debt. But why people are upset with this new ruling is because this very generous payment plan has been struck down.
SAVE.
Yes.
And how is SAVE different than IBR?
Well, SAVE worked on a different formula that protected more of your income before it went into the calculus. So now it's just going to basically go back to the old rules. I kind of had a feeling this was going to happen, but it's been dragged out because it's been held up in court for months and months.
Is everybody eligible for the income-based reduction?
Most people, but if you're very high earning, you may not be eligible for income based because you have to have something called a partial financial hardship. And very often, if your income is higher than your debt, you won't have that partial financial hardship, so you won't qualify for income based repayment. So for those people, there are alternative strategies to deal with your federal loans, but those people are in a tougher spot now for sure.
Well, the average income in America is $64,000. So you're telling me that my debt has to exceed $64,000?
For the most part.
But I get to reduce my income, don't I? In the calculation of that?
Well, it also has to do with your family size. So a single person making $64,000 is going to be treated differently, or the formula is going to be different for them than somebody who makes $64,000, but they're married with three kids.
Okay, but whatever happened then, or what is the status of if I'm in the public sector and I'm paying off over the course of 10 or 20 years, then the balance is forgiven. What is that called and what's the status of that?
So for public service loan forgiveness, which is one path to forgiveness, that's not going anywhere. That's still going to be available for people. And if you're pursuing public service loan forgiveness, you shouldn't be nervous about that. The forgiveness after 20 or 25 years, if you're on an income contingent repayment plan, that's ICR or SAVE or something called PAY, P-A-Y-E, or REPAY, those are all enjoined right now. And so you can't get forgiveness if you're in one of those. The only safe one is IBR.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then it also makes one wonder, well, so if I'm making a payment now at a certain level, how will I know what the new number is And how will I know if I'm, you know, being delinquent or not sufficiently attentive to that? Are they going to tell me? Is it happening automatically? Maybe you've got a question for Ray, too. I'll ask her to answer that and your question as well right now. This is WGN 312-981-7200. We're visiting with the debt relief attorney, Ray Kaplan, a specialist in student loans and debt. She's been telling us that the SAVE program appears to be in jeopardy based on a court ruling. And so those of you that have been saving money on your student loans won't be able to save the money the way you were. But how will they know, Ray, what the payment is going to be?
Well, you're supposed to get something from your servicer, but with the new administration and everything, there have been a lot of layoffs at the Department of Ed. So the servicing of federal loans, which was already not great, is worse right now. There's a lot of uncertainty. Our staff is on the phone with these servicers for 3, 4, 5 hours on hold, and then they drop the call. So it's very frustrating for borrowers who have to deal with the servicers on their own. So that's why we're around, because we handle things for the borrowers with their servicers to make sure that they're getting approved for the lowest payment plans that they're eligible for. So this shift for about 8 million people is going to kind of come as a shock, because now they're going to have to, they're going to get a bill, and the bill is going to have your standard payment plan on there, which is going to be very high, because that assumes that you're paying these loans over 10 years. So it's going to be a very high monthly bill, and a lot of people are going to panic and not know what
to do. If you're on the SAVE plan, the bill's going to be higher now.
Yes, the bill's, you're going to get a high bill.
Online or in print, you're going to get a note.
And probably it's both, say, yeah. Email, your servicer will send it to you.
And you're telling me, though, that I would probably be eligible to reduce that standard amount to something that's income-based.
Very likely, yes. So there's going to be income-based payment, and there's some other payment plans that also can reduce that payment for
you
as well.
What a nightmare. What a mess.
Yeah,
what a complication.
It's very complicated.
A couple of calls for Ray Kaplan then. 312-981-7200. Sue, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Sue?
Hi. I just wanted to thank Ray Kaplan. I talked to her, and she navigated me through a very tough and very large bill I had for my children, and got me the public service, because I've been a nurse for over 30 years, and I just want to say thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're welcome. I'm happy I could help you.
Can I ask what the how that went, Sue? How much did you have, or what was? Can you do the numbers for me a little?
Yeah, I had $300,000 worth of debt. And I was forgiven, except for what I paid off. And Ray's office was incredible. They were caring. I was embarrassed, obviously, but they didn't shame me.
Oh, no. No, it's a, you know, and it is, it's a very stressful thing, and I'm so happy we were able to get rid of it for you. But a lot of people don't even know that this ability to get rid of the loans under public service loan forgiveness exists. I talk to people every day who are kind of skeptical. Is this really true? Can I actually get rid of these? And there are so many options out there for people with federal loans.
So you said they didn't shame you?
Yes, I was embarrassed. I owed all this money for my kids, and they were just caring, and I can retire now.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I'm glad you got the help, Sue. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sue.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Cheryl, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Cheryl? Hi.
Hi. It's somewhat complicated. We have three adult children who live out of state and take care of their own affairs. All three, the two older ones, have gone through, graduated from seminary, and have served churches. Our daughter is currently serving a tiny church in the Upper Peninsula. And I know they all still have loans, and I'm wondering what you can recommend for them. They say they have somebody at the university that was supposed to be working for them when we heard you first start talking about this, when I first caught it. What advice can you give me to give them to pursue getting the forgiveness if they're eligible?
Well, what I would say first is they should go to studentaid.gov, and there, that's the site run by the Department of Education. So all of their federal loans will populate in there. And then, of course, they can always call us, and we can walk them through the process and just make sure they're on the right track, because it's complicated to make sure that they're following the law to get the loans forgiven. So most people who apply for public service loan forgiveness fail and they get denied and rejected because they're not in compliance with the statute. So that's why we do what we do, because it's a way to help people navigate the process so that they stay in compliance with the law, so that they get the maximum amount of loan forgiveness. So of course they can call us, but I would say a good starting place would be studentaid.gov, and to make sure that they're in a qualifying payment plan and that they're certifying their employment.
Cheryl, what did you say they do, these people?
They are all in ministry in our denomination. They're all our oldest son was a youth pastor. Our daughter is pastoring a community church up in the
Upper Peninsula. Does that qualify as public service?
That should count, as long as, yeah, they're employed by the church, and the church is a not-for-profit, so it's a 501c3 under the U.S. tax code. That will qualify.
How long have they been doing that, Cheryl?
Our oldest, maybe 7 to 10 years, and now he's working at our Bible at a Bible camp as assistant director.
And he's paying on student loans, right?
I believe so, because we checked with them all, and then, you know, we don't have access to their accounts and all that.
Sure, well, I understand that, but here's the question then. So you want to advocate for these people. They've been paying on loans for 7 to 10 years. If the window for public service forgiveness is 10 or 20 years, but they haven't done anything about it for the last 7 years, do they get credit for those 7 years?
10 years, right. So it's 120 months. So we can get them some credit retroactively, even if they haven't been in compliance earlier. Like, let's say they were in the wrong payment plan or they were in forbearance. We should be able to get them a weighted average of credit towards PSLF. So it'll get them closer to that finish line to getting the loans wiped out.
But you understand my point. In general, though, if I haven't been participating in this program because I didn't know about it, can we turn the clock back to when I haven't missed any payments, I've been paying?
Yeah, and we can, even if you haven't been making payments on time. So we can still get you credit, because it's more based on the employment than even the payments.
I'll give Ray's contact information in just a second. Cheryl, good luck to you. It's nice of you to look out for them. I think there's a lot of us who have kids or grandkids who are saving for college or have gone through college, and they have those loans, and as you saw from that one caller, maybe you co-signed on the loan and you just don't know about this, or they don't know how to do this. Who would? Chris, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Chris?
Hi, I got a question. Thank you for taking my call. I was on the SAVE program for approximately 10 months or so after I was on loan forgiveness. And then they moved me to the SAVE program, and then I did a consolidation, and after the consolidation, it ended up I had 132 payments, and my loans were forgiven. So my question is this, since I was on the SAVE program, will they put me back into the payment?
The standard plan, yeah.
Well, wait, your loans were forgiven, right? So you should have a zero balance.
Correct. And I was just, because I was on the SAVE program, I was wondering if they're going to go back down.
Oh, yeah, they're going to recalculate it because he's zeroed out.
I don't think so, but that's interesting.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, somebody in Washington's going to come up with that, and they're going to go, yeah, but that's crazy. If you've paid it off under a program that we were honoring, and now the judge said, well, that's invalid.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think they can. I think you're grandfathered in. They can't go back.
They might go back, though, because what they're saying is that is that the loans were not supposed to be forgiven under SAVE, that wasn't written into the statute, et cetera, et cetera. So we have to keep our eye on that very closely.
Sitting here now, you haven't heard a judgment on that.
No, not yet.
Stay tuned. Chris, interesting question. I hope not. Thanks for the call. If folks want to reach you, the number's 312-294-8989.
Yep.
312-294-8989. The website for the Kaplan Law Firm is financialrelief.com. I've got a minute here. Ray, just give me just one more minute of your time before you walk out the door.
Sure.
U.S. Appeals Court ruled on Tuesday that Democrat former President Joe Biden's administration lacked the authority to pursue a student debt relief program designed to lower monthly payments for millions of borrowers and speed up loan forgiveness for some. That's what we've been talking about. Joe Biden also tried to just zero out a lot of people's debt, and a judge said that you can't do that, or the Congress didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But this was in place, right?
Yes. Well, they used something called the ICR statute, and they just kind of amended the statute to add the SAVE plan. And what they're saying is that in the ICR statute, there was no precise language about loan forgiveness, and there is in the IBR statute. So they're saying you shouldn't have done it through the ICR statute. You should have done it through the IBR statute.
The judge that did this was appointed by Donald Trump, but I don't know that this is the Trump administration putting his finger on this. This isn't Elon Musk or anybody.
No. This is the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, right?
Yeah. Well, then does another state or somebody else have standing? Can they appeal this?
No, but what I think is going to happen is, so now it's been remanded to the lower court for a full hearing, and I'm sure the lower court is going to overturn and repeal SAVE. And then if the administration would want to appeal that, they could, but it's very likely that the Trump administration would not.
Well, this administration wouldn't. It certainly doesn't sound that way. Although, I don't know, if they want to appeal to a whole bunch of voters, this would make a lot of people happy. And as you and I know, some people don't like this sort of student debt forgiveness.
Well, that's true. And there is a Republican proposed legislation called College Cost Reduction Act, where they make the universities co-sign on the loans. So the universities now would have skin in the game. And so if people were defaulting on their loans, the universities would be liable. And so it's interesting to see if that legislation passes, that would be a game changer.
What do you think of that?
Well, the aim is to get colleges and universities to lower the costs of tuition, and which because they've been going up year after year exponentially.
You know, my rant has been that they're always happy to let all of these undergrads take on enormous debt. Some of them liberal arts majors who will never get back $120,000 in earnings.
Right.
Or will be saddled with that for years and years and years. And they seem to just have their nose in the air, not paying any attention to that. I like making them co-sign.
Yes, I do too. And also just they're going to increase the amount that students would be eligible for in terms of grants and some other types of loans. And then they said they're going to come out with a new payment plan that would be actually kind of close to SAVE, supposedly.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Financialrelief.com. Ray Kaplan, thank you.